Well, anyways, good morning, church. Great to see you here today. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors. Just very grateful for you coming, whether you're here in person or if you're online. Thank you so very much. Today, we're concluding our series on the life of David, and we have nowhere come near really encapsulating his life. It is, we have scratched the surface, but it's just, it's been a fun time walking through David's life with you. And today we're going to be talking about David's final words to his son Solomon. And I hope that you've been blessed by this time that we have spent with David and perhaps encouraged to look into his life a little bit more, and that would be wonderful. But you know, there's something special about last words. You know, as we turn to David's last words today, these types of things linger with us. Last words are full of wisdom and emotion and clarity, because people realize that they may not have much time left, and so they speak what matters most. You know, some people will use their last words to say things like, "I love you." Others will reconcile with others, and some will leave behind a blessing. When we come to 1 Kings chapter 2, David, the great shepherd, warrior, poet, king, as he reaches the end of his life, after decades of victories and failures, joys and sorrows, triumphs and sins, he's about to go where everybody on earth will someday have to go. And so he gathers his son close, and he gives him this final charge. It's not a long speech by any stretch of the imagination, but it carries with it the weight of a lifetime. David's final words are not just for Solomon, they're for us, because they invite us to think about our own lives. You know, am I living in such a way now that I will finish well later? You know, God calls us to live faithfully day by day, shaped by his grace, so that when the time comes, we too can pass on this legacy of faith and hope and love. And so let's walk through David's charge and see what it means to live well now so that we can finish well later. First one is this, that we need to recognize the reality of our own mortality. You know, David begins with a simple acknowledgement that he is dying. For all of his strength, for all of his victories, for all of the years he has lived, he cannot escape the truth that death comes to everyone. As scripture says, you know, at the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. It's a reminder that no matter how powerful we are, how wealthy we become, how healthy we attempt to stay, for all of us, there will come a day when our life here on earth ends. And John Wesley used to ask his preachers kind of a famous phrase, "How is it with your soul?" But he often would remind them to live and die well. And he saw no contradiction between these two. In fact, the way that we live today will shape how we will one day die. And it's not meant to frighten us, but it's meant to focus us. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, it says, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom." When we realize that this precious resource that we've been given, our lives, is limited, we become more intentional about how we spend it. Now, are you living today in the light that, in the light of the fact that one day your life will end? Does your daily walk reflect someone who knows that eternity is real? And David doesn't try to deny his mortality. Instead, he uses it as a springboard to encourage his son Solomon to live faithfully. We too should recognize that facing death honestly helps us to live more fully. The second lesson I think we learned from David here is that we need to live with strength and courage. As scripture continues in 1 Kings chapter 2, I imagine David holding Solomon's face with both of his hands, and he pulls Solomon in closer. And he probably uses a John Wayne accent, but he says this to him: "Take courage and be a man." And at first, it might sound like fatherly advice. Be a man, son. But this isn't about bravado or macho toughness. The Hebrew literally says, be strong and show yourself a man. What David is saying to his son Solomon is about spiritual courage. In the Old Testament, strength and courage are often connected to trusting God and obeying his concerns. I mean, think of Joshua when he heard God say, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And as David draws his son in close, telling him to take courage and to be a man, he's telling Solomon that he's going to face a lot of challenges in this life. That Solomon, you are going to be tempted to take the easy way in life. Don't do it. Be a man and stand for the truth. Solomon, you're going to have enemies who are going to resist you. Don't shrink back. Live with holy courage. You know, living well today requires courage. The courage to stand for a truth in a world that prizes compromise. The courage to love when hating is so much easier. The courage to forgive when holding a grudge is natural. The courage to keep on going even when life is hard. You know, Wesley embodied this kind of courage. When he was studying at Oxford, he was often ridiculed for his approach to faith. But his life, his faith, he took the command seriously to take courage and be a man. His critics would call him and his friends Methodists for the way that they methodically lived their faith. He was ridiculed and attacked and rejected by many, yet he pressed forward because he was strong and courageous in the Lord. Right? If you want to finish well later, you must live with courage now. Each of us need to make the decision to take courage and be that man or woman of God that our families need, that our workplaces need, that our world needs. We shouldn't live recklessly or arrogantly. We should live with a steady, spirit-empowered courage to walk with God faithfully, whatever comes our way. I think the third lesson we learned from David here is to walk in obedience with God. You know, next comes the heart of David's charge, obedience. Not simply strength, not simply courage, but obedience to the Lord. Our scripture continues and it says, observe the requirements of the Lord your God, follow his ways, keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written into the law of Moses so that you will be successful in wherever, what you do and wherever you go. And if you do this, then the Lord will keep his promise that he made to me. He told me that your descendants, if your descendants live as they should, and follow me faithfully with all of their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel." Now, David knew the firsthand experience of the importance of this. Right? When David obeyed God, whether he was a young shepherd trusting the Lord against Goliath or as a king seeking God's guidance, he saw God's blessing. But when he disobeyed, whether it was through the adultery with Bathsheba or through pride in numbering the people, he saw devastation. And so Solomon tells his son plainly, walk in obedience. Keep God's word central. Let your life be guided by his commands. I notice the language, with all of your heart and soul, right? He's not talking about external rule keeping. He's talking about wholehearted devotion. God isn't looking for half-hearted followers. He wants people whose obedience flows out of love. And Wesley would taught this passionately. He called it holiness of heart and life. To love God with all of your heart and let that love shape your actions. For Wesley, obedience was not simply about earning salvation. It was about living out our salvation. Because it is God's grace that saves us, and it is God's grace that empowers us to live holy lives. If you want to finish well later, you must walk in obedience now, daily and consistently and lovingly. God's commands are not burdens, but pathways to blessing. And they lead us into the blessings. They lead us into the kind of life that prospers in ways that matter most. And the final lesson that David is teaching us here today is to remember the legacy that you leave. And David's charge ends with a focus on his legacy. The Lord will keep the promise he made to me. One of them, one of David's descendants, will always sit on the throne of Israel. And then David died and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. David knew that his time on earth was coming to an end, but God's purposes continue. His obedience or his disobedience would impact the generations to come. And church, the same is true for us, right? How we live today shapes the legacy that we're going to leave tomorrow. Parents, the way that you live your faith in front of your children matters. Grandparents, your prayers, your example, your words matter. Young people, the choices you make today will set the trajectory for your future and impact that you'll have on others. Now, David didn't live a perfect life, far from it. But by God's grace, he left a legacy that pointed to the greater son of David, Jesus, who would one day rule forever. So when it comes to your time, church, what kind of legacy will you leave? Will people remember you as someone who walked faithfully with God? Will they see in you the evidence of a heart fully devoted to the Lord? And what does this mean to us practically? I think we need to live with eternity in view. Each day, remind yourself that life here is temporary, but eternity is real. This perspective helps us to prioritize what really matters. Secondly, practice daily obedience. Small acts of obedience add up. Read God's word daily. Pray faithfully. Love your neighbor. Serve humbly. Each act shapes your soul. Cultivate holy courage. Don't shrink back from living your faith boldly, whether at work or school or home. Let Christ shine through you, even when, especially when it is difficult or uncomfortable. And invest in legacy. Pour into others. Mentor somebody who is younger in the faith. Pray for your family. Support the church's mission. What you do today impacts the future. Lastly, finish with grace. You know, don't wait until the end to make things right. Seek forgiveness now. Reconcile now. Love deeply now. So that when your time comes, your last words will be words of peace and blessing. I think David's last words still speak to us today. Right? Recognize your mortality, live with strength and courage, walk in obedience, and leave a godly legacy. None of us can control the length of our life, but we can control the direction of it. Live your life in such a way that when your time comes, you will finish well. And let's remember, finishing well isn't about perfection, but it is about faithfulness. It is about learning to lean on God's grace daily so that in the end, we too can echo the words of Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is now in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Church, may we live well. May we finish well. And may we leave behind a legacy of faith that will point others to Jesus Christ, our King forever. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful that every day that we have with you, every day that we have here on earth is a blessing. Every day is a new opportunity, Lord, for us to change the way that we are living so that we may live for you. Thank you, God, that there's nowhere in Scripture where we can read that it's too late, that we've committed too many sins. You are a God who loves sinners. And thank you, Jesus, for that. Lord, we pray for the strength to live boldly, to live with courage, to be that man or woman of God that you've called us to be. Lord, not so that we are remembered well, but so that your kingdom would grow, that our lives will point to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here we are, dear God. We pray that you would use us. And it is in your name we pray. Amen.